This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Contrary to the fake Twitter account everyone believed, a classic gaming company is not going to Kickstarter, but is rather going indie. Plus, has the family sharing camp plan come to the PS4, or is it something different? Tonight is August 17th, 2014, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Cedric the Owl has wonderful memories of Dungeon Buster. Unfortunately, Dungeon Buster is in chat, has horrible memories of Cedric the Owl from King's Quest V. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, and if you are logged into the site, you can check in, just like we had a tie for first place. ActDeft and Fifth Dream were the first two people to check in at the same second, and then Tiger Claw came in 1 second after them, so tie for first there. You could check in, get some points and loot, mostly just points, probably no loot, and we're probably not doing a raffle this month again. Or you can listen for a passphrase somewhere in the episode, put that in on the site, and get credit for being a part of participating. That's a good way you can participate, is by showing your support. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show. That is all one word. Or you can call us toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. So one of the things I like to do is I like to read comments from previous episodes that people leave on the episode page of VogNetwork.com. The first one tonight, both of the comments are about the big topic we talked about last week, which was Twitch TV becoming mainstream and therefore actually having to follow the law, and how this was affecting people who made a living breaking copyright law. Whether they agree with copyright law or not, the fact is, unfortunately, they were breaking it. Blood Drunk says, in terms of your Twitch TV stream, so all you have to do is play Norwegian death metal at a slow tempo on all your streams, essentially making it into doom metal, and stream all the background music you want on Twitch, or just straight up play some doom. It's way too underground for an automated system to recognize. And then Tiger Claw asks, with Ustream TV becoming the alternative to Twitch TV, what's to stop them from implementing the same thing Twitch TV has? Nothing. The reason they can probably get away with it right now is because they are not as well known, and so they don't have enough money to make it worth people's time to sue. If Ustream gains a lot of popularity, even though I think Ustream was doing better than Justin TV was, if Ustream gains more popularity, they may start having to look into doing the delay to be able to handle a larger load, more streams at once. And then, you know, probably having to deal with the music licensing, because eventually people are going to go after them. So nothing is the answer to that. So quick reminder, in 2 weeks, there will not be a live show because it's Labor Day weekend here in the U.S. But more importantly, we are all going to be at Dragon Con. It's here in Atlanta. It's the same weekend as PAX Prime, so we are going to be at Dragon Con instead of PAX Prime. And also, SAC Anime, I think, is going on out in Sacramento. So there's a lot of conventions because it is a three-day weekend here in the U.S. A lot of great conventions. I'm going to be there. Rob from OLR is going to be out. Travis Donovan is going to be out there. John from Critical Myth is going to be out there. Brian from British Invaders is going to be out there. It's going to be a huge VOG party. And we are going to have a panel. We actually have a couple panels Right, I'm going to be on a couple of panels. Brian from British Invaders is going to be on other panels. Most of my panels are in the podcasting track because I could not figure out who to contact in the video game track to get included in their panels because not even the people that run the Georgia Game Developer Association knew who to contact. But we're going to be doing some stuff on the podcasting track. I believe I haven't seen the final schedule yet. I personally will be on the podcasting kickoff track, so Friday morning, the first panel on Friday. And then I believe Rob and I are doing something on Saturday with some other people about like the future of new media. And then the VOG panel is tentatively right now is Monday at 11:30. And that's going to be us. We're going to actually going to be talking more about more about podcasting in general, not really about gaming. But the title of the panel is participating, not just listening. And it's basically we're going to talk about and give advice on how we get people like you to participate and how we have like, you know, how we've been able to grow to have a full chat room during our live tapings and how we can, you know, and OLR does great with the emails and stuff. You know, and how giving advice on how people can get that and get more participation out of their audience instead of just listeners. And then I know Brian from British Invaders, he's doing stuff on the Brit track, which is the British television and sci-fi track. He's actually going to be one of the experts on a lot of those panels talking about Doctor Who and other British television shows that aren't Doctor Who. So if you want to meet up with us, you can. If you're going to be there, you can tweet us. That we'll be able to receive those, even though, you know, signal coverage is really bad when you're in a condensed area with a lot of geeks using their phones. But definitely the Monday morning panel at 11:30 is when you can see us. And then we'll try to hit up some of the other VOG, other panels that VOG people are going to be on. And we might be actually invited into the Parsec Awards again. I know that Pod Culture is nominated for a Parsec Award. I, unfortunately, did not get nominated for, even though I got nominated, but I didn't become a finalist. Apparently, my Oculus Rift essay was not enough to become a finalist. But Pod Culture's on there, so, you know, Pod Culture beat me out. So Pod Culture is technically a better show than I am, and I don't know if Brad's listening. But according to the judges at the Parsec Awards at DragonCon, Pod Culture is a better show than this one. Brad wants to mention two Parsecs because he splits his show into two different things, and so he could go into two different categories. Do I get to accept the award on your behalf, Brad? That's what I want to know, because then I can like hold the award a little bit, and then I'll have to give it back to them, and then ship it. They'll ship it to you, I'm sure. But you know, if you win, do I get to go up and accept your award for you? Other than Dragon Con, one of the other things I've been talking about on the show a lot recently is the Oculus Rift. I kind of wanted to give a little bit of an update as the platform is maturing a little bit. Every day seems to have it mature a little bit more. You know, I've been having a lot of trouble getting things to work on the Oculus Rift. But recently, they've released a new software development kit. So they're up to 0.4.1. Brad says, yes, he would like for us to go up. So cool. If Pod Culture wins, Rob and Travis and I can go up and accept on his behalf. That would be awesome. So anyway, back to what I was saying about Oculus Rift. Stop looking at chat. It's gotten a couple more things have been working with it. A lot of I've actually gotten some things to work specifically the way they're supposed to. I'm still getting a lot of what's called judder and some vertical sync issues, even though I have VSync on. In certain demos, mainly ones that are done in Unreal. But there was one thing that I wanted to touch on because I figured this out, and some other people on Reddit also figured this out. And it's to answer the age-old question, can I wear my glasses underneath the Oculus Rift? And this question, you know, my answer on the first dev kit was yes, because I did it, but I was apparently the only person in the world who could comfortably and safely wear his glasses underneath the Oculus Rift. So with the Dev Kit 2, with the way that they have changed the way certain things work under the hood, the answer is a little bit more complicated than a yes or a no. So the physical answer, can I physically wear my glasses underneath my Oculus Rift, underneath the Oculus Rift Dev Kit 2? The answer to that is yes. You physically can. I can still wear it, and I've heard other people that couldn't wear them under the Dev Kit 1 can now wear them under the Dev Kit 2. So if the question is, can I physically wear them under the Rift? The answer is yes. The problem becomes is now, is it going to be an enjoyable experience? And I'm going to explain this a little bit, because what the Dev Kit 2 does in order to achieve some more presence and other things. It does this trick called chromatic aberration. And what this means is that on the screen that's inside, which is a Galaxy Note 3, everybody's going to remind you of that. Now on the screen, it's actually showing kind of a color-shifted image. And so you can like see some reds and some blues, and that helps with some of the effect. And the lenses inside the Oculus Rift that are between your eyes and the screen merge all those colors together. And it helps you stare into infinity. So that's how that works. Unfortunately, what I have learned, because I have a heavy prescription, and I think the number that I've heard from people is if your prescription is higher than 4 in either positive or negative on your prescription, what that unfortunately does is it separates out the colors again, mostly in your peripheral vision. Because one of the demos that I really enjoy is called Titans of Space, and it's you know, the next gen planetarium type of thing. But basically you're flying around, you know, and it shows you perspective of sizes. You know, here's how big the Earth is compared to the sun and all that stuff. And so it's on a black background, but on top, above each planet is yellow text that's floating above the planet saying this is what it is and this is how many kilometers it is across. And sometimes if the planet is so big, I look up. But then I also, you know, I look up with my head, but I also have to look up with my eyes. That's how high it is that I'm looking at. And if I'm wearing my glasses, that text is actually in like red, blue, and yellow because it's separating out the colors in my peripheral vision. Whereas if I take my glasses off and I put either just wear them without the glasses and have it be blurry, or if I put my contacts in, that doesn't happen. That's going to be the main issue with wearing glasses underneath the Rift. Not that you can or can't physically put it on, because you can. The problem is the edges of the screen, your peripheral vision, or, you know, not really your peripheral vision, but just the edges of the lenses. Unfortunately, the glasses, if you have a high enough prescription, will unwarp, or not unwarp, but separate out the colors and bring back the chromatic aberration that the lenses of the Oculus Rift got away from. So that is something to keep in mind. That was not something that was in the Dev Kit 1, because they didn't do chromatic aberration in the Dev Kit 1. So that was not an issue the first time around. Tiger Claw says, the problem with some of us who wear glasses, some of us are nearsighted. The minute an object is very close to me, it gets blurry. If the screen in the Oculus Rift is close proximity to your vision, then you don't need the glasses. It's basically the lenses make it seem like you're staring into infinity. So you just have to try it. Like I'm farsighted, so you know that's why things work differently. But when I wear my glasses and use the normal cups, the lenses, A cups, B cups, C cups, then you know it looks fine. You know, it looks like I can look at everyday life. I haven't tried putting in the other lenses. They actually ship with different lenses, like nearsighted and farsighted lenses. And there was some talk, you know, when the consumer version comes out, of getting prescription lenses, where you can send your prescription in and they send you back lenses that you can put in your Oculus Rift. So the news stories that I wanted to talk about, we talked about this a little bit last week because I was very cautiously optimistic. Again, it was hilarious because we talked about this they're going to announce something at Gamescom. And it's about when I was a kid. Way back, I mean, I'm only 29, so this wasn't that long ago. I had a fanboy war, and I was on the righteous side of one of these fanboy areas. And, you know, so today you have your Xbox and PlayStation fanboys, and your Nintendo fanboys, and your Ouya fanboy, singular. Back then, my fanboy war was Sierra versus Lucasfilm Games. Who made the better adventure games? You had your King's Quest on one side and your Monkey Island on the other. And my side was Sierra. I was firmly in Camp Sierra. Lucasfilm Games sucked. You know, Day of the Tentacle could go die in a fire. You know, I was just very biased against Lucasfilm Games. And luckily, I was not on the internet yet at that point. So I had nobody to argue with. Well, Sierra is coming back, and what was kind of funny is that somebody had made an account on Twitter, Sierra_Games. And everybody started following it, because it had the Sierra logo and all that stuff, and it's like, you know, and they made it and said, oh, we're going to have more announcements at Gamescom. And then, like, Tuesday or something, or Monday morning, they posted an update on this saying, thanks for all the follows, we'll see you on Kickstarter. And everybody lost their crap. They were like, I can't believe Activision is this dumb, and oh my god, you know, here I was excited, now it's just going to be another Kickstarter thing. Why does Activision need Kickstarter, blah, blah, blah. Not realizing that the official Twitter account for Sierra Games was Sierra Games without the underscore. That's the official account for Sierra. Sierra underscore Games was actually a parody account that they didn't list was a parody account. And it turned out, thankfully, that it was false. I was one of the few people that was like, oh, that's an you know, epic troll here. And they're like, no, Activision's really that dumb. They're going to go to Kickstarter, the biggest company in the world. And I'm like, no, they're not. So, and SJ100 Matt said, that fake account really got us. It didn't get me, because I knew. But nobody believed me when I said that it was a troll. Everybody said, no, you're just being too optimistic because you're a Sierra fanboy, which I am. But the truth came out at Gamescom. VentureBeat reports that our long global nightmare is over. A resurgent Sierra Games just announced what is certainly the game of the year, Geometry Wars 3. Wait a minute. Sierra and Activision revealed new plans for the beloved label today, including launching a new King's Quest adventure game, as well as a new entry in the Geometry Wars dual stick shooter series. Say that 10 times fast. While the company retains the Sierra name and is publishing King's Quest, the Activision subsidiary will not focus only on re-releasing Sierra classics. The plan is to have it do that while also forging deals with edgy independent developers working on innovative new projects. This should bring some further diversification to a portfolio of software that includes Call of Duty, Skylanders, and World of Warcraft. Thank you, VentureBeat. So according to, and I got to read the entire quote to find who said it, Sierra Director of External Development, Bob Loya, he says, quote, Sierra's goal is to find and work with talented indie developers working on their own amazing projects or passionate about working on great Sierra IP and leverage our expertise to aid them in bringing these fun and exciting experiences to gamers with a level of visibility and awareness they deserve. In addition to Lucid Games and The Odd Gentleman, we are in talks with a large number of other indie devs and can't wait to share more details with fans in the near future, unquote. The misadventures of PB Winterbottom developer The Odd Gentleman is producing the new King's Quest game. It is a fully reimagined take on the original series. Wonderful. According to Activision, the publisher promises that The Odd Gentleman comprises a number of fans of the King's Quest franchise. The studio intends to capture the same combination of difficult puzzles, hopefully not spelling Rumpelstiltskin backwards, an engaging narrative as the originals. The adventure title is due out in 2015 for unspecified platforms, although the company notes it will release its software on Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, and Steam. So also, Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions will be made by Studio Lucid Games, which has produced a small number of mobile games. Dimensions will feature a single-player campaign with 50 different challenges in addition to 10 different battle modes. The game is due out this holiday, but Sierra once again didn't mention any release platforms by name, but it did say the series is coming back to more platforms than ever before. ActDev says, well, some rumor, which I hate rumors, but I'm going to read this chat comment anyway, because ActDev checked in quickly. That's the only reason is because I checked in quickly. Some rumor I heard on the Sierra comeback was that Activision was turning them into their origin. And Dungeon says, I hope that's not the case. I'd rather see them develop out as an adventure studio under Activision than a digital service. I would rather, I'd rather see them do, you know, because I love Telltale and, you know, hey, competition is great. And having more adventure game creators and stuff. You know, Sierra did kind of branch away from the adventure games, especially when they became a publishing arm late on. I mean, they published the original Half-Life. And they even, like, before they became, you know, bought by Vivendi Universal, they did some, you know, games, like arcade-style games like Oil's Well and board game Jones in the Fast Lane, which I love the music from. Ken Allen did the music for that. We had him on the show and talked about it. But, you know, I kind of wish they would kind of stick with the adventure games and you know, do more with those franchises and not reboot. We don't need a reboot. The first ones are great. We don't need to reimagine them. Let's continue the story. There's a lot more stories to be told in Daventry. There's a lot more stories to be told with Roger Wilco. And, you know, and with, you know, I don't know what happened to some of the other IP, because, I mean, there have been, you know, there's been the Silver Lining continued King's Quest by Phoenix Online Studios, and you know, I know that Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded came out, which is basically a remake of the Leisure Suit Larry 1. But, you know, let's stop remaking the past. I mean, I understand that Sony advertised when they released The Last of Us Remastered that we know the games you bought a PS4 to play, and they showed The Last of Us. And no, I'm perfectly fine playing the classics on as they were, because that's what I remember them as. Give me new stuff. Don't reboot. Continue. ActF says, Sierra published Half-Life 1. They're coming back. Half-Life 3 confirmed. And Nunjapes said, I'd rather not have a reboot of King's Quest either. Let's have an official continuation of the series we grew up with and keep our fingers crossed that there is good. Here's what they should do is, you know, there's a company called Phoenix Online Studios that have that do a lot of great adventure games. And they actually continue the King's Quest series. So let's make that official. Maybe. So the last story I wanted to talk about is something that is coming out to the PS4 to aid in the fanboy wars of who's better and who's got better features and stuff. There's a feature coming to the PS4 that everybody thinks is the feature that was going to be coming to the Xbox One that they got rid of when we all complained about the feature and how the feature was being implemented. PlayStation Blog actually posted something about this, and it's basically talking about the Share Play feature. According to PlayStation Blog, they say, since we first unveiled PlayStation 4 and its deep social capabilities, including the share button, we've seen an outpouring of excitement from gamers. The PS Nation has rallied across around a culture focused on sharing epic gaming moments through live from PlayStation, interactive streaming, Share Factory, What's New, and Photo Mode in exclusive PS4 games like Infamous Second Son and The Last of Us Remastered, which apparently is what we all bought a PS4 to play, was Last of Us Remastered. Let's go a step further together, and let's go from sitting back and watching friends play to actually jumping into jumping into games remotely and sharing great experiences together in real time. Today, the PlayStation press conference at Gamescom, we will deliver on yet another promise from the PS4 announcement and introduce SharePlay, coming to PlayStation 4 later this fall. The best way to think about SharePlay is like a virtual couch. PlayStation 4 will create an online local co-op experience by allowing you to invite a game into your game even when they don't own a copy of it. With this first-of-a-kind feature, you'll be able to play games with a friend just as if you were together in the same room. Let's say that with games, you'll be able to invite your friend online to play against the Miami Heat as the championship as the San Antonio Spurs in NBA 2K, tackle the challenging Towerfall Ascension quest mode together, or aid, heal, and protect you as Igniculus in Child of Light's local co-op mode. With SharePlay, you can even jump into a game to assist a friend. For example, if there is a part of a game you can't quite finish, you can invite a friend to take over your controls. Like handing over the controller to a friend on your couch, your screen will be shared as your friend gets through the part of the game that has been giving you trouble. Can't get past the part in The Last of Us Remastered when you're hanging upside down? Get a little help. SharePlay will be coming to PS4 as part of the upcoming system software update 2.00, scheduled to release this fall. The update will also add highly requested broadcast and video share features, including both uploading your gameplay footage and dedicated app support for YouTube, which we mentioned on stage at E3. Finally, What's New will get enhanced real-time activity through friend-to-friend suggestions, allowing instant access to friends and recently played games broadcasts, and a real name search function will also be added. Hooray. More features to come when 2.00 is made available this fall, and we will have more to announce in the coming months. So, I haven't been able to, you know, delve too deep in the technical aspects of this. Basically, I mean, this is not the family share plan, because they are playing as if they were coming to your house, and they were playing this game. So that's how it can get around the, you know, it doesn't need 24-hour online check-ins or anything, because they can only play your game when you're playing it. So the question I have is, are they going, the question really is over latency in internet stuff, is are they going to be streaming the video over PSN from you to them? And or is it going to download the game to your friend's system and they can jump, even if they don't own the game, they can jump into the game and it's running locally on their system and it's just sharing controls? That's going to be the question about if this is viable or not, because if somebody has a very poor upstream, it's going to be very hard for somebody else to come in and play the game for them, because then you introduce lag and latency. And even though somebody may be able to beat that portion of the game on their own system, are they going to be able to beat it over a crappy internet connection? Because, you know, a lot of people have great downstream, but upstream is not something that a lot of people have that's really good. And that's what you really need for a lot of this, and especially for real-time stuff. You know, we're not talking uploading to Twitch where there's a 30-second delay. We're talking, you know, it would be a one-to-one but even Skype and Google Hangout video has a tiny bit of lag. And that's one-to-one. It's peer-to-peer. So it's really going to be interesting to see how they implement this. And if somebody does have to download it, then, you know, are you going to have to try to schedule it beforehand with them that, you know, so they can download the 46, like, let's say it's MLB The Show. That game's like 46 gigs installed. So are they going to have to download all 46 gigs to be able to jump in and, you know, help you in the bottom of the ninth get a home run so you can win the World Series? And Breakman says, so no sharing Street Fighter. See, that, yeah, you think you get to play anything that where you need to count frames over Gaikai? Like, would you be able to play it well? I mean, I know that, you know, PlayStation Now, when they showed it at E3, they were running Street Fighter 4. But would you really, I mean, you wouldn't want to competitively play it over that type of system. SJ Winterman says, you could be using Fios, but your friend could have Comcast. Womp womp. And Dungeon Buster says, sir, are we ready to play? I don't have enough space. ActF asks, I wonder how this will work in a wrestling game. Well, basically, I mean, the way it sounds like once you get past the technical hurdle of where is the game being played from, is it being streamed from, is the video being streamed for somebody else's PS4, or do you have a local copy? What it basically does is it kind of does, it will actually, like, under the hood, will actually allow controller 2 to be a remote controller. It'll be a remote system. And so it would be like a game that's not designed for online co-op could have online co-op through this system. They don't actually have to create an online co-op experience in the game. They could just leverage this technology. Or, you know, or it, they could make it so controller one is now the remote thing, so you could actually pass off the controller. That's, I think, what it's really doing, is that it's going to allow one of the controllers of the local system to actually be remote and be played over the internet. So, and ActF, you know, it says in a wrestling game, would, you know, would a wrestler's music start to play? That is not what this is going for, because that would be basically what he's saying is, oh, you know, somebody's getting beat and then you could jump into the game as another wrestler and come in. That would be more, that would have to be something that would be implemented in the game as an online co-op mode. This is primarily for offline co-op or couch multiplayer, you know, being able to play a game on the same couch or take over the controller from somebody on the same couch. It's not like you're running your own instance of the game and then jump into somebody else's game. That's something that would have to be implemented in an online co-op mode. And Dungeon Buster is like me. It sounds like a neat concept, but those technical hurdles. So I haven't seen that many details on how they're technically going to do this, or if it's going to just download a portion of the game that you would need. But it's a very interesting concept, and it's not going to require an always-on internet connection because you can only use it when you're online. So if you're not online, they can't play your game. Sounds good. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll take your calls, and you may have some information about more technical hurdles that they may have not have revealed at Gamescom about that. You can call in. We'll talk about anything in the gaming industry. And all that stuff. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Mexican, ActF, and you're participating in the Bobby Blackwell Show. Whether he's right or wrong, his opinion is always something worth listening to, except for the music breaks. Those sometimes suck.
I don't know what he's talking about, music break sucking. That was a perfectly fine music break. I don't know what ActF is talking about. What I played during the music break, and if you're on the podcast, you don't actually get to hear the music break, because it was a message to Activision about what not to include in their King's Quest remake. I played a song called Girl in the Tower. This is what you missed by not being live. And it, actually, I did it for Chat's reaction, which was priceless, so it was totally worth playing it. Girl in the Tower was a song composed for King's Quest VI, which was the second King's Quest game to be made for CD, and it was actually designed to be played from CD-ROM specifically. It actually had some highly computer-animated full-motion video sequences and stuff like that. And the idea behind Girl in the Tower was that it was supposed to be it was going to be the first ever top 40 song that came from a video game. Unfortunately, the song sucked like something totally fierce. And it became a running joke, and I actually had a copy of the song from a CD that I had of Sierra Soundtrack. stuff. So that's what I unleashed on the world. And apparently I lost listeners because I played that. It was supposed to be a top 40 song back in the early 90s. Girl in the Tower, Tell Me What to Do. If you want to leave a bumper, kind of like Act Def telling me about, you know, telling me preemptively about how my music break was going to suck, you can leave me a bumper, MP3 file with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's a whole bunch of stuff out there. You can make anything out there your free audiobook. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. If you are still listening, if you did not turn off the stream during the music break. Alan Alchemy says, King's Quest VI was incredible, but not for that song, good lord. Dungeon Buster says, on a technical level, this was awesome sauce, it's King's Quest VI, but would it survive on radio? Not a chance. No, it didn't. Now, I think that's Reverend Kyle in chat. There's a Reverend in chat, and I think it's Reverend Kyle. And I want to announce that, because he does the Rev VR podcast, he works with RoadToVR.com, and he had a Kickstarter, very modest Kickstarter, it actually got funded, so congratulations to him. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase SHADE. So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hello, Bobby. This is Reverend Kyle. How are you
Reverend
doing,
Kyle? We got a yeah. We got a legit celebrity on the show tonight, right now.
Yeah, well, it's unusual for me to be able to make your live show. I usually have to listen to you on the podcast
right.
A couple days later. But yeah, no, so my Kickstarter actually was successful.
I know. I got the email.
Backers like you.
Yeah, I got the email that you took away my money.
I did, yes. Actually, well, Amazon Payments did, yes. And then Kickstarter took their cut, and Amazon took their cut. So I think I'll end up with probably about $1.50 by the time I'm done.
Yeah.
But, hey, it was fantastic. So you actually had a chance to play the game then?
I did. I played the version you sent, like, last week. And
right.
I could not kill that UFO.
Mission accomplished.
I know.
Well, you know, like Nolan Bushnell says, a good game is simple to learn and hard to master.
Yes.
So I guess you'll just have to play it a bit more.
But the thing very that I really cool. liked about your Kickstarter is that it was extremely reasonable, especially considering we have these other Kickstarters that are asking for like $200,000 for a VR game, and you're like, no, I just need this much, and
well,
I'm
right.
I'm almost done with the game anyway. You know,
yeah, you know, it's a hard place to be right now, especially in the VR mm-hmm. game space. Is how do you ask for the amount of money you need, mm-hmm. and expect to actually get it, and it's tough, and there's a lot of people struggling right now because of the amounts that they're asking for.
Yeah, so it was what, $3,200?
Yes.
Not 32,000. We're saying this right, 3200.
Absolutely,
which,
yes.
Which was
yes.
like for Unity Pro, the taxes that Kickstarter and Amazon payments take out, and t-shirts.
Absolutely,
and then
right.
like stretch.
And all the rest of it goes to getting me out to Oculus Connect in September.
Now, did you get an invite to Oculus Connect?
Absolutely did, yes.
Okay, congratulations. I didn't apply, but...
Well, thanks. I wasn't sure who was going to be there and who wasn't. I mean, they're being very stingy with their invites.
Yeah.
Only major developers and, I guess, personalities in the VR space are getting it. But, yeah, you're not alone. Yeah. You know, if you asked for an invite and didn't get one, there's quite a number of people who are still on the hit F5 every 10 seconds hoping
yeah.
to get that email.
Yeah, no, I didn't even apply because I can't get out. I mean, I can't afford to go out there on such short notice, too.
Right, yeah. I mean, the price of tickets for flights and everything and hotels, it's just ridiculous right now.
Yeah. But congratulations. So are you going now to Oculus Connect?
Absolutely, I am, yeah. I booked my flight and
perfect.
Hotel, and yeah, I'll be out there. It's supposed to be a very exciting Friday-Saturday experience. I'm being told I'm not allowed to report as a news person from certain aspects of the
yep.
conference, which makes me believe, ooh, goodies.
Yeah.
Who knows what we'll find out back there.
Yep. But see, the thing is, you are buying your own way out there, so you're not being corrupt. So it's all
that's
good.
That's true. Yep.
I mean, granted, yep. we're paying for it, but that's not like Oculus is not paying for you to be out there, so it's perfectly fine.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, and people who backed my Kickstarter, they knew what they were paying for. And, yeah. you know, and the game is, you know, all but done. You know, I released the Android version today, which is playable both in VR or standard mode. And DK2 version, Mac, Linux, you name it, it's on its way.
So, and one of the things that's kind of neat about your Kickstarter as well is that it also is kind of like doubling as doing a Kickstarter for your podcast as well.
Right.
Because, like, I'm not a huge fan of people doing Kickstarters for podcasts or for continuing their podcast, which we've seen a lot of. And they've been some very successful Kickstarters for people saying, oh, we'd like to do another season of our podcast, but we need, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for office space and all that stuff. But the way you did it is you're like, I'm making a game. But, you know, even if you think the game sucks, you're actually going to be helping out the podcast.
Absolutely, you right. And that was the thing is, if even if you didn't like the concept of my game, which some people actually said that, they're like, but we're going to give you some money anyway because we like what you're doing for free for the VR community. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I will graciously take your funding.
Yes.
Yes.
So, well, congratulations on the funding. Where can people who didn't donate, can they get it now?
You know, it's a good question. I've had a few people ask. What I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of give it a little bit of time and let the people have their exclusivity. Right. And then you'll start to see demos become available. And if you want to buy the full version as well, I will probably have a portal with which to do so. Right. That's typical of, you know, games that end up on Kickstarter is there's a way to back them afterwards as well.
And so tell people about where they can find your podcast and where you work and all that stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. So I am part of the RoadToVR.com team. Mm-hmm. So Road to VR is the number one place to get your VR news, other than Bobby's show, obviously.
Here. Obviously.
And so you can go to RoadToVR.com, check out that, and then also just look for the Rev VR podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, all those other fun aggregators. It's out there, so very cool. You can follow me on Twitter as well, Reverend KJR. Twitter is all abuzz about VR recently.
Yes. And I'm glad that it's getting positive again after all the stuff that went down in April.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. VR had its lulls, but things are coming up. And DK2, we just had the Sensei Dayton VR meetup last night. Really a lot of fun and a lot of excitement over the new development kits and software that's coming out. And
I can't wait for it to start working.
I know. Well, I can't wait for John Carmack to fix Notch's Minecraft code so it works correct in VR. That's the latest news.
I can't wait for like not having to deal with the DOS type stuff of like having to set up my computer in a different way every single time I want to try something different.
It's a challenge, yeah.
It's early on, and like I didn't get my dev kit 1 for like 5 months. Like developers already had it for 5 months before I even got it, so it had matured. And so I think that, you know, we're just in that maturing period right now. And so that's why I'm not giving it too hard of a time. I'm just kind of letting it sit there, and I'm doing, like, one or two things at a time. I'm not getting everything because not everything works with my system yet. But I think they will in a couple months.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've already seen interviews with Palmer Luckey and Nate Mitchell where it's like, oh, yeah, we got a great SDK that we'll release soon. Yeah. And it's that soon that we're all waiting for. So very cool. Good things in the future.
All right. Well, it's always good to hear from you. I'm glad you're here.
Yes, and, fantastic. Yeah, and, thank you for, you know, taking my call. I appreciate it. And obviously, you know, you're one of the VR evangelists along with us. So keep up the good work.
But I'm not presenting any VR awards.
Well, you know, it's funny. I didn't realize what was going on at the time when I signed up for that. So, yeah, there's going to be some VR award ceremonies and I will be involved. Yeah. But maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Bobby. All right. Have a good one.
So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network, we're going to talk to them really quickly because I wanted to talk to Reverend Kyle. I don't get to talk to him all that often. Orange Lounge Radio, it's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much longer than I do. And even though we're going a little bit long, we still like to say hi to them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. Reverend Kyle wanted to call in, and I can't say no to Reverend Kyle.
I see how it is. We get bumped forever. No, it's totally fine. He's a good guy.
So, yeah, and you got to meet him, you know, and stuff. So, how scared are you guys? How scared are the people in that house right now?
It went down a little bit ago. The PT playable teaser was being played a little earlier. Jamie got to experience it for the first time, and
I had gasping.
She's the first person to beat it on my PlayStation 4.
It's seriously the worst advertisement for a sequel to ET I've ever seen. I didn't even see the alien in there. Well, I guess maybe that was him in the sink. But
maybe
it
missed
just,
it eating me.
I got
both possessed and killed in the same round.
Jamie let out some shrieks I could hear from the studio.
I didn't shriek, I gasped.
You know, it was a shriek gasp.
Dan's here. I didn't shriek, you liar.
So yeah, you guys have been playing the PT, which it's Silent Hill, isn't it?
It is. It's Silent Hills. As the trailer at the end. But everything is a puzzle involving that. And nobody can figure out the conclusive way to beat the teaser every single time. I don't know if there's an element of chance in it or what have you. So there's a lot of puzzles in it. And perhaps the actual reveal of Silent Hills is a puzzle too. There's been thoughts that perhaps the S in Silent Hills will end up being Silent Hill 8 or even possibly 5. I suggested that perhaps because the Silent Hill games after 4... kind of all had bad reception.
I think the S stands for solid, as in Silent Hill Solid.
But I've suggested that this could perhaps be Silent Hill 5. Might be something they do to it to sort of distance the series from the direction it's gone in for the past few not as well received releases. Outside of maybe, well, even the Wii one got mixed reviews. Like, people seem to really, really love it or really not like it. So.
Yeah, and I think I read somewhere like when somebody was talking about when they created PT. They said, yeah, I mean, people are going to be able to beat it, but I expect it will take at least a week to solve PT.
Yeah, yeah.
He specifically used the word solved, not beat.
And as far as I know, it's still hasn't been solved. I have my theory, though.
Hmm. I do have a theory.
Well, I'll have to get into that a little later on OLR.
On OLR.
Cocked a plan. So
what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight? We're going to have this call be short so you guys can start.
It's all good. Obviously, Gamescom was this week, so there was a lot of news out of not just the Sony camp and the PT we talked about, but there's a lot of news out of Microsoft's camp as well, including a very, very controversial, I guess you could call it buyout, for lack of a better term, of an exclusive title. So I know some people have something to say about that, so we'll be talking about that as well. In news and rumors and those types of things, I know we all take rumors with a grain of salt, but it's very interesting. Who might be making a bid for Xbox Entertainment? I was surprised to hear this. I think it would be very interesting if it's true. And we'll see.
All right. And remember, Sierra is not going to Kickstarter.
Thank gosh that Twitter was a fake account.
I knew it was a fake account. Nobody believed me.
Receipts before I totally bought it, and thankfully I didn't go all in. Oh, and this is important, too. The Sega Genesis turns 25 this week, so we're going to talk a little bit about...
Happy birthday, Mega Drive.
Or maybe it's this month, not this week. But regardless, we'll still celebrate 25 years of the Sega Genesis and how old that makes me feel.
I know. I'm only 29, but I mean, I can imagine how you feel. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Somehow you were 9 when the Genesis came out. How does that work?
I know. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, but not the following Sunday night. But next Sunday night, I will be here 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live. Interact with the show directly. You can feel free to leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Join the Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter at BobbyBlackWolf. Or you can talk to me here at Vogue. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. Just because we play some terrible music breaks doesn't mean they're all terrible. And I think that somebody may like some of our music breaks. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Soccer, Dark Tetsuya, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, Sky, the VXJHNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Loki, Actdeft, Alan Alchemy, Bacon Bits, Bob Coffee, Brad from Pod Culture, Brozine, Burr, Seal, the Blue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Eswat, Fantaz, Game Guru, Hitstun, Melty General, Monster B, MXC, MXT, Nestor, Orange Wright, Put Pockery, Raginator, Reverend, SJ100 Matt, Surtur, The Rob D, Tiger Claw, Toagak, Wylan, What Up G, Yogazilla, and Zappy. So that is it for me. I will be here next week, but then Dragon Con the week after on all the panels and accepting both of Pod Culture's awards on their behalf and not sending the trophies to Brad. That's going to be what I'm going to do, and I'm sticking to it. See you guys next week. Bye.
A winner is you.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.